ذاك العادل في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله ذاك العادل في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أيها الأحبة في الله، اللقاء الخامس تحت عنوان عداوة الشيطان للإنسان. My dear brothers and sisters, our fifth lecture around the topic, our mortal enemy, the shaitan. As we mentioned before, Iblis wa dunya wa nafsi wal hawa kayfa najatu wa kulluhum a'da'i. Iblis or Satan, dunya, this world, myself and my desires are all my enemies. How can I save myself? Well, very easy. Our topic is Iblis. This is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us from the start. He is your enemy. Deal with him as your enemy. We said that Adam alayhi salam made a mistake, he sinned, and we said the shaitan also sinned, but the sin of the shaitan is major, arrogance. The sin of Adam alayhi salam is not major, eating from the tree, but both of them are sins, both of them require repentance, and both of them can be forgiven. But what happened? One repented and the other one insisted. Adam alayhi salam repented and Iblis insisted. Let's go back a little bit, just look at the beginning so we can catch up with the topic and live with it inshallah like we have started. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَهْبِتْ مِنْهَا فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا. Addressing Iblis, he said, descend from it. No one lives in it who is arrogant, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like arrogant people. فَخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. Get out of here humiliated and insulted and every degradable thing that you can think of, you're getting it. Which means, if you are arrogant, you're supposed to be arrogant because you are really someone. Really someone. Not a fake someone. So if you think you're too arrogant, meaning that you're not in need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're powerful by yourself, then stay in the Jannah if you can. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, get out through your nose because you are an absolute fake. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the shaytan responded, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. He said, O Allah, by your honor, by your absolute power and self-sufficiency, meaning that I know that you don't need, or you're not in need for someone to worship you, they're not going to benefit you. And I know if they did not worship you, they're not going to harm you. Because I know that, I am swearing by that, that I'm going to lead everyone astray. Meaning, you're not going to stop me because you're not in need for their worship. This is how he thinks of it. Because you're not in need for worship, because you can make everybody subservient to you without me, without anything, created us just like that, but this is not your plan. So I'm going to do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, not everyone, illa ibadaka minhum al-mukhlasin, except the sincere one. Shaitan said, I have no power over those. Why? Because they are your beloved one. They are yours. They are your allies and you are in charge of them. I cannot do anything to them. That's number one. Then he said, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Because of the punishment that you have inflicted upon me, the curse and making me descend from the Jannah, I'm going to mislead everyone and I'm going to do it the following way. Here is your path that leads to the Jannah that you want everyone to follow. I'm going to sit on it for everyone. They're not going to be able to pass without me doing something to them, or at least trying to do something to them. And I'm going to do it major, especially the major things like the Salah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the shaitan comes at the Salah and he starts intensifying his whispers, making the person remember things that he never remembered before, so he can ruin the khushu' or the attentiveness in the Salah. Then he said, adding to that, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to aggressively, indiscriminately attack them from every angle, from in front of them, from behind them, from their rights, from their lefts, four directions, and he excluded up and down, because up your righteous deed ascends and down the place where we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both those places for the believers guarded by angels, and wherever you find angels, shaitan is not there. That's why if you have pictures in your home, shaitan is there and the angels of mercy are not there. Why? Because angels of mercy will not enter a house that has a dog or pictures. So here what he did, four directions, طيب. Then he added, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will not find most of them, us, the servants, the shaitan telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most of us will be, or will show no gratitude to you. They will not thank you. Yes, you have given them, you have created them, you have done everything for them, you're bestowing your blessings upon them day and night, they cannot count your blessings, but even with that, most of them are not even going to say, thank you Allah. Tayyib. MashaAllah, thank you very much. Jazakallahu khair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the blessing of the hearing and seeing and the hearts. This is to mention a few major few blessings, few of you who show gratitude to that. طيب. So what is the shaitan doing? Attacking from every angle to block you from doing good and to block you from showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now wants to give us an example. Up to Adam alayhi salam, before he comes down, he wants to show him the plan that he has for us on this earth, which is testing us to see who is going to be obedient to deserve the Jannah and disobedient to deserve the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. O Adam, live in the Jannah that I have made specially for you, where you are not in need for anything whatsoever, absolute beautiful life. You and your wife that I have created from you, so you can live with harmony and with love and with support and enjoy yourself in the Jannah with complete happiness. One thing, which is a command, and that's what we have here, commands. And this command has to be obeyed, and that is the trial, that is the test. Do not get near that tree. لا تقرب هذه الشجرة فتكون من الظالمين. If you do, you will really do yourself something wrong and it will cause you to be expelled from the Jannah. So we have a command Don't get near that tree. So once the command is there, you have no excuse to say, I don't know. And this, if you break that command, this is the result. And this is what we have here, brothers and sisters. We have the command from Allah, do or don't. And if you do, what happens? And if you don't, what happens? This is exactly what we have here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to Adam alayhi salam before he even descended on earth. Adam alayhi salam naturally lived in the Jannah, loved the Jannah, was happy in the Jannah, everything was great. And Shaitan, his jealousy and his insistence on being arrogant, he vowed to mislead. He's going to start with our father, Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and his wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. The Shaitan whispered to them both, not Adam alone, not Hawa alone, both of them at the same time. Shaitan naturally knew, whether by seeing or whether by asking, Adam alayhi salam, are you happy here? Anything else you need? Life is good. Look what you have. Confirmed everything that Adam alayhi salam loved it there. Then, do you like to stay here? How about if you lose all of this? Would you be sad? So you really want to be here? Yes, I want to be here. Confirmed all of that for the plan that he has for Adam alayhi salam. And he did waswasa. Waswasa, we said in Arabic, it means the sound of the jewelry when they hit each other, which is very soft, very romantic, very pleasing to the ear. This is how he does it. Why? Because Shaitan, when he whispers to you, he wants you to give up, or he wants you to do something that you don't really want to do. And he promises you that in return he's going to give you a worldly gain. Shaitan is not going to tell you, do something which is haram, or don't do something which you must do, and then he tells you, just do it. There's no reward for you, or you will not get anything you like. Absolutely not. He will say it in a good way. If you don't do this, you will get this. But what you will get from this dunya, and are you going to get it? No. Even if you do, it is nothing in comparison to what you are going to lose. قَالَ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكِ اللَّا يَبْلَى. Shaitan came to Adam and he said, shall I show you a special tree that makes you live forever and a possession that will never perish, which is staying in the Jannah? And the tree is the tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him not to eat from. Because he said in a different ayah, قَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنْ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. He said, wallahi, Shaitan is swearing by Allah, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell you to not get near that tree, but for two reasons. Allah doesn't want you to live forever here, or he does not want you to become like angels, so sacred and so obedient and everything. So Allah is depriving you from something that you really love and something that you really enjoy and you want. Here is what the Shaitan did, and he swore. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, دَلَّاهُمَا. When you want to get water from the well, you take a bucket and you dangle it. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described, as if the Shaitan promised him so much and whispered him to so much, to the point as if his whispering were like a well or something so big, and he dipped him, Adam alayhi salam, and Hawa in it. They were smothered with the false promises, with the the beautifying that the Shaitan was doing to make them get near that tree and eat from that tree. And finally, what happened? فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Adam alayhi salam and Hawa live in the Jannah where they cannot see their privates, their own privates or the other's privates. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he told him not to get to that tree, there are so many things, it's a disobedience and so many things would happen. And he said, you will be wronging yourself. Shaitan did beautify that, so Adam and Hawa tasted the tree, which means they did not eat it. Now naturally, this is also something that went through stages. How about if you get closer? How about if you take a look at it? How about if you touch the trees? How about if you look at the leaves? How about if you look at the flowers? Until he tasted it. As soon as they tasted it, بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. They can see their privates. And this is something shameful. This is something shameful. You know, unfortunately, nowadays, people compete for either showing the privates or getting close to showing the privates or shaping the privates. If they cannot show it, then they will shape it. And this is not only men, but it is a competition for women, unfortunately. Look at Adam alayhi salam and Hawa. As soon as they tasted it, they dropped it and they start running, picking up leaves and covering themselves. Well, they're not strangers. That's husband and wife. And yet they have that haya, they have that shyness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with. They did what they did, even though what they have or what is there is halal. To tell you what kind of level or what level we have reached nowadays when it comes to losing the shyness, the true shyness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we expose our privates, when we women leave either dressed or half dressed or barely dressed or not even dressed, and men racing with that to dressing or going according to the what's so called the model or the fashion, if you call that fashion. Anyway, basically they're wearing things that slowly revealing their privates. And it becomes normal and normal to them, to the point, what's the big deal if someone is half dressed? You know, what's wrong with it? You guys come from the Middle East and you see that something strange and everything, it's because of the way you lived. You were suppressed, you were, and they make it look like as if you were buried in something horrible, as if what's happening is a virtue or something that the human being have to succeed in getting, as if they are training us to become like animals, where nobody cares about that. Subhanallah. This is the complete opposite of the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Adam and Hawa, they started to cover their privates. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to them. Qala ya Adam, أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ وَأَكُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Look at the beauty of the address of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Adam, didn't I tell you not to get close to that tree? Didn't I warn you from not to get close to that tree? And didn't I tell you that this shaitan is your mortal enemy? Didn't I tell you that? Didn't I tell you if you do that, you will be a loser? The answer is, doesn't need an answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, Adam said, oh yes Allah, you have told me that. No, because the answer is obvious. This is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to the people, the disbelievers, the day of judgment. أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Didn't I send a messenger to you? قَالُوا بَلَى. They confessed. In some ayat, they don't even have to confess because the question is already known. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. Now, Iblis said what he said simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not in need for any of us to worship him. Because the reason I'm emphasizing that, because a lot of people, when you tell them that you're doing something, I just prayed for him. I just prayed five times. I pay zakah, everything. What else Allah wants from me? I just prayed for him. I just did for him. It's like, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just sitting waiting for your prayer so you can increase his kingdom or his dominion or any of those things. Astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the divine hadith, Ya ibadi, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أتقى قلب ورجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا. O children, O my servant, if the beginning of you and the end of you and your human and your jinn, they were all like one body, the most obedient to me, all of you like one person, most obedient to me, you will not increase anything in my kingdom. And then he said, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَفْجَرِ قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْكُمْ مَا نَقَصَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. And let's have it the opposite way. If all of this were to be the most rebellious, one person, all of you united on being the worst disobedient people, you're not going to decrease anything from what I have. Then he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is something very encouraging. This is something inviting, if you will. لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في صعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل إنسان مسألته ما نقص ذلك عندي إلا كما ينقص أو ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. If all the human from the beginning of Adam عليه السلام until the day of judgment and all the jinn, everyone stood at one time and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them anything they desire from A to Z, regardless of the size, regardless of the value, regardless of how many, all of them ask at the same time. And he grants everyone, picture that, what he asked for. He said, this will not decrease anything from what I have, but like if you have a string or a needle, you dip it in the sea and you take it out. How much water clinging to it and how much the sea lost from the water, it's like that. Which is what? You can say zero. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to get it closer to your mind. Because if we say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it will not decrease anything, our logic cannot absorb that. There must be something taken if you want to logically think about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, I'm going to go along with the way I created you. Here is how much my kingdom will decrease. Which is what? You can't even say a drop of water. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. This is an invitation for me and you to always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why should we envy women for the blessings of Allah? Why should women envy men for the blessing of Allah? Why should I envy my brother for what he has? Or he envies me for what I have? Why can't we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get it from him? Why do I have to ruin the life of someone when I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everything and can give it to me and he will give it to me and it's not going to affect anything? If the billion and the trillion of the creation until the day of judgment, if he grants him everything, they could simply ask, I want the whole world. And he gives that much, it will not decrease anything. So why should I look at my brother and envy him? Or why should women say, why men have this? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about men this and that? Why can't we fulfill the saying of Allah, فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Ask Allah from his bounty. This is something that we should always reflect on. My dear brothers and sisters, Shaitan did what he did to Adam alayhi salam. Was he there for him? No. Well, let me tell you a story. And I will conclude the whole thing with that story. I found that story so relevant to this topic, and so relevant to the promises of the shaitan, and so relevant to us falling into the sin, and how easily we can fall into the sin, to the promises of the shaitan, as we will see, inshallah. There was a servant who used to be the most worshipper of the Israelites at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, or any of those prophets from the Israelites. He was the number one servant in the whole world. No one serves like him. His name is Barsis. Isolating himself for the sake of Allah, completely from this dunya. All he does is worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'bad ahlil ard, kan a'bad ahlil ard. No one worships Allah like him. And naturally, when you seclude yourself, especially at that time, you're secluding yourself from every luxury that you may think of in this dunya, including women, meaning he's not married. Or he will not get married, because this deprivation is also hard, and it is, he's making it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you find some of the priests claiming that they don't get married, right? Tayyib. This story actually brings tears to your heart before your eyes. Because when we talk about a servant, when we talk about someone the most servant or the best servant for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and see what happened or what the shaitan did for him. There used to be this man, of course, in his shack that he had built in the mountains. Four brothers used to be there, from those who fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you think fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only in Islam, you're deadly wrong. It was before Prophet Musa alayhi salam did it, and it was present at all times, which is preserving for the purpose of preserving the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were going on an expedition fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fighting the disbelievers. They have a sister who is young and beautiful. Two problems. Young and beautiful. Any man would think of that, it's a major problem for him. And it was a problem for them. Because they're leaving, and they're leaving her behind, and they're worried about her. They wanted to entrust her with someone who takes care of her. And who is going to be entrusted, talking like a man, to take care of this young, beautiful girl? Nothing came to their mind except this righteous man, Barsis. This is the most honest, sincere server, good, you name it, it's him. That's the only person that we can think of that we can really put our hands in cold water, as we say in Arabic, meaning completely relax and feel secure that he will take care of her. So they went to him. They said, here is our situation. He said, no, I have no time for that. Listen, no time for that. He is constantly worshiping Allah. Doesn't have time to go check on her or give her food or anything. That's wasting time. You can tell what kind of a servant he was. They came to him from a good angle. They said, Ya Barsis, we're not going vacation. I'm not going to Honolulu or going to California. We're going to fight for the sake of Allah. That is the highest level of righteousness. That's even better than what you're doing. Take care of our sister, because you're the only one we trust and we can. And don't stop us from getting the reward of this. Rather, take care of her and you get the same reward like us. Insisted, so he said, okay. But what's the condition? He said, make a camp, you know, a tent for her next to mine, where I can just give her the food, check on her quickly, and go back to my business. Not to bring her in the house, because I don't have time for that. She might want to talk, I don't have that. I don't like that. I don't want to do that. They agreed. He used to do what? Bring the food and put it at the door for her and go. Did that for several times. Shaitan didn't like that idea. This is like, here's a tree. Don't get close to it. Don't eat from it. Shaitan did what he did. And now he doesn't like that idea. So he came to Persis. And he said, why don't you at least say salamu alaikum to this young lady? She haven't heard a voice ever since her brothers left. Long time they left. Salam, brother. It's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get rewards. You're not losing anything. Just say salamu alaikum to her. Sounds good for someone who wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he told her, salamu alaikum. Naturally, she's going to say, alaikum as-salam. He heard her voice. Young and beautiful. And what else? Broken heart. Alone. Her brother's gone. No one speaks to her. She's sad. So her voice is going to be, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Don't say something that shows that you are weak, because the human being, the man, will take advantage of that. And a woman who is left alone for such a long time, her voice has weakness in it that makes the person want to help or want to do something. Anyway, he heard the voice. Now, Iblis came back again. He said, oh, Persis, you are the best of people on earth. Why can't you ask that poor little lady or girl if she needs anything else? I mean, you come and you put the food, sometimes even maybe an animal would come and eat it, and she is too shy to ask you where is the food, and she stays hungry all day, and you have no idea. Listen to this, too shy. Shyness is not something that came to Islam. Shyness is from the time of Adam alayhi salam, especially for women. It is a natural state of any obedient human being. So the shaitan told him that, and he told him, why don't you ask her? Just ask her, and this will be added to your hasanat. Besides, man, you are the best obedient person on earth. You are a sheikh, you are a scholar, you are a knowledgeable person. What are you worried about? What are you afraid of? Go and ask her. Well, so he said, what's the big deal? So he went and he said, anything else? He saw her. She told him, no thank you. But he saw her. Naturally before, when he heard her voice, if anyone knows the imaginations of men, can understand. The worst part of men is their imaginations. Voice and looks and anything. Men, perverted men, even normal men, shaitan comes to them, and this is their nature. Imagination is number one motivation for men. He heard her voice, now he saw her. Iblis came back to him again. Why don't you, he said, why don't you sit with her one time? Just one time. Sit and eat with her. She's too lonely. And you're a sheikh. You're not going to be deceived with this little girl. MashaAllah, look at your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just sit with her and you will be rewarded for that. You are the most righteous. So he said, okay, we'll eat one time with her. Put the food. They're eating from the same plate. One time he wanted to get some food. Her skin rubbed against his hand. He felt her skin. add that to the imagination that we are talking to, sound, saw, felt. Ya halawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا, do not get near committing adultery, He subhanahu wa ta'ala understands us and knows what that means and what effect it has on us when we get close to that. And that's why shaking hand is haram. And that's why, we'll talk about that. Now, he saw, he heard, he felt, he fell. Fell with what? He committed zina. He slept with her. Because all of that was building up from the first time he spoke to her. That's the imagination that I'm talking about. He spoke to her, he saw her, now he felt her, it's over. Shaitan now is very happy, right? No. Shaitan is never happy. This is a piece of cake for the shaitan. Shaitan, when Iblis has his throne over the waters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, and he sends his messengers out to deviate us, when they come back, he asks him, what did you do? Well, I made someone drink alcohol. Get out of here, done nothing. What did you do? Oh, I made someone commit zina. You have done anything. What did you do? I broke up marriage. Give me a big hug. Sit closer. You're my man. Because if you ruin marriage, you ruin the society. You ruined the unity, you ruined everything. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something big. Don't tell me coming and committing an adultery and tomorrow he says, astaghfirullah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put an X as if he's never done it. Tired. It's not over, so he continues. He comes to him. Well, before that, the bad news is she got pregnant. And her brother still away. Shaitan came to him. He said, Hajj Barsis, her brother, are not back yet. What are you going to tell them? Where is this baby coming from? That doesn't look good, my friend. You know what they know about you. They trusted you. Not nice. My recommendation for you. Kill him. Kill him. You want to save yourself or you want to look like... So he killed the baby and he buried him. Shaitan came to him again and he said, now let's be a little bit realistic. The beautiful girl is there. You killed a part of her. Arhamakallah. You think when her brother coming back, she's going to shut up and not say anything about it? It doesn't matter. Yes, you committed something wrong, but that's her baby. She's not going to be quiet about it. She's going to talk. And they're not one, they're four. Your life is over. So my recommendation to you, kill her and you'll be saved. He went to her, young girl, he didn't tell her, of course, he said, young girl, let me go and show you your son did what he did, lied what he lied, took her there next to the son, killed her, buried her in the same spot where her son was buried. Guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, he said, والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما. He mentioned three major sins that there are, the scholar said, the essence and the mothers of all sins: shirk, killing, and committing fornication or adultery. Every sin relates to those. It has the root that leads to those. This Barsiz did what? Two of those. He committed adultery or fornication and he killed. Not one, two. Shaitan, ya Habibi, is telling him, do this. He did it. The brothers came running, excited for their sisters. Ah, Sheikh, where is our sister? He said, well, unfortunately, she got very sick and she died. Say, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you for your patience and everything, and ask for your compensation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what a believer would say. So he was lying big time, right? So they believed him. They have no other choice but to believe him. They were crying so hard and everything and went home thinking about it and missing their sister. But nothing came to their mind about he's a liar, because they know that he is the best. When they were asleep, Shaitan came to them in their dreams. He said to the first one, you want to know where your sister is? Go to this spot, dig, you'll find her there, her and her baby. He went to the second, third, fourth, four of them, the same thing. Woke up, brother, did you know what I had? I had a dream. I had a dream that my sister is buried in such stuff, her and her son. The brother said, wallahi, this is what I dreamt. The other one, four of us the same thing. Let's go and find out. Went to the spot, dug it. Sure enough, the sister is here and the son is here. Ya halawala. Going where? To Barsiz. Took Barsiz, doesn't know where the punch he receives it. Punches and killing and hitting and everything, and they pinned him against a tree and they said, tomorrow at noon we're going to crucify him personally. Tomorrow at noon. Now he is pinned on a tree, alone. Shaitan was walking by, you know, happens to be walking by, the same one. And he passed by him and he said, yeah, Sheikh Barsiz, you know I did all of this and I have the power, the only one who have the power to save you from this problem that you're in. They're going to kill you. It's over. I'm the one who got you to fall in zina. I'm the one who got you to kill the baby and kill her and everything. I'm doing all that. You know that. So Barsiz said, isn't it enough? Okay, well, go ahead and save me. He said, not so quick, my friend, you know, I do some good favor for you, you do something back. And he said, isn't it enough for you? All the things that I have done? He said, no. He said, okay, save me from it. What is it? He said, I just want you to make one sajda, one prostration for me. Just one. Not one rak'ah. Not two rak'ah, not a full salah, just one. Well, he's pinned on a tree. He said, but I can't do it. He said, you know, if you can't pray, our religion is easy. You can just, you don't have to go all the way, just go like this with your head. Your intention is to pray for me. If you do this, I'm satisfied with it. Your case is solved. He did it. The shaitan laughed so loud and walked away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرْ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ فَكَانَ عَاقِبَتَهُمَا أَنَّهُمَا Finnar is Khalidain. Shaitan walked away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the example of those horrible people who promise you and do things and never really fulfill and leave you alone at the end when you are in the top calamity, is like the shaitan commands a human being to disbelieve in Allah, to commit shirk, and then he tells him, oh, as for me, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what he's going to say the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the end result is both of them in the hellfire. Both of them in the hellfire, what? Permanently. Because this is shirk. He died on shirk. Now you know the goal of the shaitan is kufr, not sins. Kufr, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he will come to you and intensifies his work the time that your soul is leaving your throat. That is the time when he comes really, really to make you say the word of kufr, because that's the last hope. That's the last hope. That's the warning. And that is the saddest news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Iblis when he vowed that he is going to mislead everyone astray from the path and making them commit disbelief and sin and kufr and such. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go, as long as they live, I will continue to forgive them for their sins. Look at the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala versus the promise of the shaitan. And that's why shaitan understands little sins or major sins, no big deal, because Allah forgives it. If you say astaghfirullah sincerely, the last second before your soul reaches your jugular vein, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you and you will be in the Jannah. So shaitan works hard the last seconds. The last seconds. He did that with Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiallahu an. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal told him, answered him, and the shaitan told him, sure enough, nobody can fool you. Because he got him to think that he was the best guy and everything, and he's leaving and he's going to Jannah and everything. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal told him, not too fast, my friend. I'm not there yet. I still can hear you and understand you. It did not reach my jugular vein. My brothers and sisters, shaitan said, inni bari'un mink. The question that we always think of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Adam alayhi salam sinned, and the shaitan sinned. Adam said, kala rabbana zalamna anfusana. Oh Allah, we have did something awful. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, we know we should have not done that. Oh Allah, be merciful with us and forgive us. So Allah, forgive them. Shaitan, none of the above, insisted on being more arrogant and insisted on doing the sin. That's the difference between the two. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in one ayah, ثُمَّ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا. What is the meaning of tab Allahu alayhim liyatubu? That Allah had forgave them so they can ask forgiveness. Doesn't sound right. The scholar said that tab alayhim, he told them that you can repent, and he decreed for them, if you repent, I'll forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you repent, I'll do. And Adam alayhi salam took an advantage of that. One brother was asking me, I'm going to conclude with this, that repentance is a mercy for mankind. Not for the person who repents, but everyone else. One Christian guy told me that it wouldn't be fair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, I have done everything horrible, and I repented, and I understand Allah forgives, but I don't want to go to hellfire. Where in Islam that guarantees that I will not go to hellfire? I said, well, you repent, you're forgiven. He said, no, I can understand that he forgives, but I must be accounted for the evil that I did. He said, if I go to the judge and I kill someone, and I say, oh, forgive me, he say, okay, I'll forgive you, but I have to punish you. He said, if he doesn't punish me, then I feel like he's not fulfilling his duty. I said, the problem with you, brother, is you're comparing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a human being who receives commands from Allah. The judge is not the one that you killed his father or mother to tell you forgive or not forgive. You disobeyed Allah. Allah is the one who can give up that right or account you for that, right? And he said, I'm not going to account you for it if you ask me for it. So what's, imagine brothers, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive for the sins, what would happen? I sin, then I have no way to get forgiveness. I'm going to sin again and again and again, intensify it and make every corruption on earth, take advantage of everything because I'm going to hell anyway. What's the point of being good if I'm going to hell? No, I'll enjoy my life here at least. So when I go to hell, I'm going to hell anyway. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you sin and you repent, you're doing good, or you're going to do good. Look at the benefit of the society. You sinned and no repentance. You killed someone. Now the society is in threat. This person is going berserk because he's not going to be forgiven. So he's going to kill. He's going to lie. He's going to commit adultery. He's going to get drunk. He's going to deal with drugs. He's going to do everything that he can to save himself. What kind of a society if we have everyone have the same idea? Wallahi, animals would be living a safer and a better life than human being. The problem is that we have, that we need to always worry about and think about, is when you come to a person who sinned, don't excuse your sin. Say, Alhamdulillah, I sinned and I'm going to repent. Like Adam alayhi salam did. Not like the shaitan. Why am I going to bow? I am better than him. Wallahi, I'm going to do this and that. Some people, why you purchase a house with interest? Brother, what's wrong with that? Brother, it's haram. It's a war from Allah against you. Oh, brother, come on, man. Everybody is doing it. The whole economy is like that. We are not in a Muslim land. We are an eye and everything. Find every cheap excuse to make it halal. That's the problem with us. Why, sister, you're not wearing the hijab? Oh, hijab is a tradition. Hijab is not like nowadays. People over here, like, wallahi, you hear that a lot. People over here don't look like back home. Like some brother, he asked his people, because the windows are too close, he wanted to get by the land behind his windows, and his family refused to sell him. And he said, because these are the rooms for my daughters, and I don't want the children or your children or someone else to walk from there, and the room is completely outside, they can see. Number one, they said, oh, look at himself, Sheikh Akhir Zamana. Now this is the Sheikh, now he's trying to make Sheikh on us. Like our children are evil. Oh, you thinking bad about our children. No, our children, if they see that room and they see a naked lady there, they would not even look. Look how people deviate and how they find excuses all the time for themselves. And this is the warning that I'm going to leave you all with. When you are sinning, don't find excuses for that. Say, I fall for it. I know it is wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide me. I'm doing the best I can. At least admit it. But don't find excuses, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you the way He did with Iblis eventually. Because if you think of something like that, shaitan may lead you to think that it is halal. And if you make some of the major haram halal, you committed kufr. Like if you say riba is halal in Islam, you're a kafir. Simple. If you make any major sin halal, you committed kufr, and that is the path of the shaitan that leads everyone to it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us from the shaitan and his whispers, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us from the major sins and the minor sins and all the sins, and especially the one that involves shirk. As you can see, brothers and sisters, do not get close to that tree, and do not get close to that girl. Both of them led step by step until it led that man to kufr. And it led Adam alayhi salam to be expelled from the Jannah or descend from the Jannah. But the problem is, he had the chance to say astaghfirullah. The other one did not have the chance to say astaghfirullah. and he ended up in the hell with the shaitan. So always be good and always stay away and always say A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim whenever the shaitan attacks. We will continue inshallah talking about that topic. Until next time, Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. $30 for both, for you or for someone you love or for someone you hate. Because if you give it to someone and he benefits from it, you get all the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done because of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and bless your money. And if you have a question.
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو فالشمس والقمر من أنوارهم.